From Spark and Anvil and Sleuth Lab, this is Branch in Chapter 1 of the Sleuth Lab cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
On the clubroom whiteboard, a squirrel named Branch had drawn a clue in the middle, muddy paw prints leading to the open supply cupboard, and then, spreading out from it like the limbs of a tree, several different explanations. Someone took supplies, or someone was returning supplies, or someone chased the class rabbit in there, or the window leaked and someone tracked mud checking on it. The detective club groaned. Branch, it's obviously a thief. Why are you drawing all these other branches? Because the first explanation that pops into your head isn't the answer. It's just the fastest answer, Branch said, adding one more limb. Every clue could be caused by more than one thing. The muddy prints don't say thief. We say thief because it's the story that jumps to mind. My job is to ask what else could explain this and hang each answer on its own branch, then go test them. The true one survives the testing. The rest fall off. If you only ever draw one branch, you'll defend it even when it's wrong, just because it's the only one you drew.
Have you ever been sure you knew why something happened, then found out it was something totally different? How did the sure feeling and the real answer compare? Branch had learned to draw more than one branch after watching a single branch answer hurt someone. Long ago, the club had found the class fish tank cloudy and a new kid standing near it, and the club had drawn exactly one branch. The new kid did something to the tank. They didn't ask what else could cloud a tank. They didn't test anything. They just followed the one branch straight to the new kid, who hadn't touched it and now cried at their desk. Then the caretaker mentioned, offhand, that the tank filter had broken 2 days earlier and been on the repair list. The cloud was a broken filter. The new kid had simply been the nearest face to a story the club had already decided to tell. Branch, young and quiet in the corner, had felt something twist. It wasn't only that they'd been wrong. It was watching how good it had felt to be sure, how the single branch had felt like clarity when it was really just a shortcut, and how a real kid had paid for that shortcut with a morning of tears. One explanation isn't investigation, Branch had realized. It's just a guess wearing a badge. From then on, Branch drew every branch it could think of before choosing any.
Branch climbed to the Sleuth Lab Academy with a whiteboard marker already worn to a nub. Inspector Vex met Branch and asked the question, "What do you do with a clue?" Branch answered by taking one clue from Inspector Vex's desk, a coffee ring on a report, and spinning out four explanations on the spot. Vex set a cup down, or a visitor did, or it's from yesterday, or someone moved the report onto an old ring. Then Branch said which quick test would sort them. See? One clue, four branches, and now I know what to check next instead of what to assume. The clue didn't tell me a story. It offered me a question. Inspector Vex looked at the four branches and the single worn marker and smiled. You are appointed.
In Branch's workshop, a young beaver huffed, arms folded. Branch, this is exhausting. If I have to doubt everything and draw 100 branches, I'll never solve anything. Isn't it fine to just go with the obvious one? Branch drew a small tree with just 2 branches, not 100. It isn't doubting everything. It's giving each answer a fair hearing before you pick. Usually 2 or 3 branches is plenty. And here's the part that matters. The branch you're most tempted to skip is the one that clears the person you'd otherwise wrongly blame. The obvious answer is obvious because it's familiar, not because it's true. Ask what else, just enough times to catch the innocent explanation before you accuse someone. Then test. The strongest branch, the one that survives every test, is the one you can stand behind, not because it came first, but because it's the last one still standing. The beaver unfolded their arms a little. So I don't have to doubt forever, just long enough to be fair. Exactly long enough to be fair, Branch said. Then you follow the branch that earns it.
Think of a time someone gave you the benefit of the doubt, instead of assuming the worst. What did that fairness feel like? The beaver drew a second branch on their own case, then a third, and something in the huff softened into thought. When I was new, the beaver said slowly, everyone assumed I broke the class globe because I was closest. But my friend said, wait, what else could have knocked it? And it turned out the shelf bracket was loose. The beaver looked up. I never forgot that friend. They gave me a second branch when everyone else only saw one. That's the whole reason I do this, Branch said, warm. It's not really about being clever. It's about being fair, making sure the person nearest the clue gets the same second branch your friend gave you. There's a good feeling in it, a kind of open, curious calm, the opposite of that tight rush to accuse. When you ask what else could explain this, you're not just solving better, you're being the friend who doesn't assume the worst. Branch capped the marker. Go draw someone a second branch. The beaver looked at their little tree, felt the warm steadiness of having been fair, and went to find the branch no one else had drawn yet.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Branch. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.